beginning in verse 50, and I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Michael. Always been fascinated with the amazing transformation that takes place in metamorphosis. When that caterpillar crawls out on the limb and spins itself into that web, that little cocoon, and over a period of time, that caterpillar is transformed into a beautiful butterfly. That always fascinates me when I think about that. But it's interesting, we're going to talk about a change that we're going to make one day, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Like that little caterpillar is changed into the butterfly, we also are going to experience a change. And that's what we're going to talk about today from God's Word in 1 Corinthians 15. If you'll turn there, keep in mind we're talking about the resurrection body. And the apostle began by asking, how are the dead raised up? And with what kind of body do they come? And he answered that first question very quickly. He said that the seed has to die before it produces its fruit. It produces the plant. The seed has to die. And we know that we have been given eternal life. We've been given life from God. But this body is like a seed. It has to die, physically die, before what's inside comes out. That life that is within us, that's his point there. We have to die, and then comes forth life from that death. And then he begins with, what kind of body do they come? What kind of body are we going to have? And then he talks about, well, it's a body with a different kind of flesh. And then he goes into this illustration. There's one flesh of man and one flesh of animal and one of birds and one of fish. And the point is, we're going to have a different kind of skin, a different kind of flesh. God created this flesh, and it stands to reason he can create this new kind of flesh that we're going to get. And then Paul went through this little process. He said, you know, this body is buried in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. It's buried in dishonor, but raised in glory. It's buried in weakness, but raised in power. It's buried a spiritual, or a physical body rather, but it's raised a spiritual body. And then he made this observation. He said, there is a physical body, and there's also a spiritual body. And then he said this, and this is what's so amazing. He said there's two Adams. This physical body came from the old Adam, and it's destined to die. But there is the one that the Apostle Paul called the last Adam, meaning there's going to be no more after him. And he identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the last Adam. And as the old Adam, the first Adam, is procreating a fallen civilization through a corrupt seed, a death seed. And if you had a human father, you're a part of that fallen creation. But he says, in like manner, the last Adam is procreating a new civilization. Now, he's also using seed, but it's living seed. And that living seed is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the dynamite of God to salvation. It infuses life into the dead. So the last Adam is procreating a new civilization, destined to live forever. Now, we have to go through that transition. We have to go from that fallen body to that new body. We have to walk through that shadow. We have to be changed. We have to be transformed. Even though we have been born of God, we have been regenerated. We have been given His life. We don't have a body to match yet. We've got a body to match the old birth, but we don't have a body yet to match the new birth. But that body is coming. And that brings us up right to where we are to where we are today. And I want to ask this question. What is the greatest motive that we could have to share Jesus Christ with the lost world? You know, those of us who are pastor teachers are always looking for some motive, some way to encourage believers to share their faith. Something to motivate us, something to drive us, something to impel us to share our faith. We're going to find one today. And boy, it's fascinating. And you can't miss it. I hope you can't. I pray you can't. Pray you don't. But that's a lot of review, isn't it? Now we're ready to tackle our passage beginning in verse 50. But before we do, let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word, for the fact that it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we know that when God the Holy Spirit wills this book, it has amazing power. It has power to give life to the dead. It has the power to encourage and equip believers, to teach us, to give us a reason for living, a reason to go on, a reason to fulfill our destiny. And Father, I pray to that end today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's launch out here now in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Point, we're not equipped right now for heaven. We don't have a body equipped for heaven. Our body is limited. It's a limited fallen body, very well equipped for this world. Well, mine's not too equipped right now, but most of our bodies are equipped for this world. Mine's wearing out. Don't know about yours. But I don't have my heavenly body yet. And I'm on my way to eternal life, to heaven. And I need a body to match. And so I have to go through that, like I said, that amazing transition, that amazing change. And then Paul says, look in verse 51, he begins to explain, he says, behold. Now that's a good word when you see that in the New Testament. That means, hey, pay attention. If you've been sleeping, wake up. Because something is about to follow that's interesting. It's going to prick your mind. It's going to stimulate your thinking. Behold. We might say it like this. Hey! You looked up, didn't you? Behold. He says, I tell you a mystery, a mysterion in the Greek. A mystery is a truth that's been hidden in God in ages past, but now, for the first time, it's being revealed. It's being made known. Do you like mysteries? This is one hidden in the mind of God. And now He's about to unleash this mystery on us, and we're about to know it. I tell you a mystery, and then he says, we shall not all sleep. Now, as I've often said, that word sleep is not what deacons do on Sunday morning in the local church. I'm just teasing with you. I pick on deacons because I love them. That's not the kind of sleep we're talking about here. It's not talking about dozing off when you're listening to the preacher. That's not what it's saying. This word means physical death. And by the way, that's what believers do when they die. They sleep. They're not dead. Isn't that amazing? Now, an unbeliever dies. They're separated from God. But a believer just sleeps, awaiting the resurrection. But he says here, we're not going to all going to die. Now that kind of flies in the face of Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. But this is the mystery. What he's saying here is we may not die. Not all of us. We shall not all die. And then he says, but we shall all be changed. Someone said, that's a great line, that last line there, to hang in the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Isn't that great? Now, some of you will catch that on the way home today. That's okay. I don't mind that. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. That word change is transformed, like that caterpillar changes to the butterfly. We're going to be transformed from the old body to the new body. From this old life to the new life. From a body that's equipped for this earth to a body that's equipped for heaven. We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. Verse 52, in a moment. Atomos is that word in the Greek. It's where we get the word atom. It's the smallest amount of divisible time for man. Boy, that's quick. That's fast. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. That's about the time it takes for your eye to blink. You say, well, how fast is that? I'm glad you asked. Someone calculated it's about 1/5 of a second. We blink our eyes about 25 times a minute. And some wag figured out with those figures that if we drove at 55 miles an hour for 10 hours, we would drive some 33 miles with our eyes shut. You got to think about that one too. I don't know who figured that out, but I don't want to pass you while you're blinking. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what Paul is saying is, this change is going to be what? Quick. Fast. Immediate. And we're out of here. At the last trumpet, the last trumpet. I believe it's going to be so fast we won't even hear the trumpet. We won't even hear the shout. We'll be gone. We'll be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Paul says it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow. So there's going to be some of us that are not going to face death, because we're going to be alive on the earth when Jesus Christ comes back. to take us home to be with Him, to fulfill His promise to us. And the reason for it is, don't miss it. Paul says, we can't go like this. We can't go with this body. We're going to have a new model. We're going to have a new body. One just like Jesus Christ had when He came back from the dead. Wow. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, He said, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, but the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Now, those are the dead that are going to rise first. Remember, the body's buried in corruption. It's destined to go back to dust. But it's raised in incorruption. It's buried in dishonor, raised in glory. It's buried in weakness, raised in power. It's buried a physical body, but it's raised a spiritual body designed by God to die no more. What about that? Well, that's good stuff. And we shall be changed, like that caterpillar, we shall be changed. Here's the reason, because, verse 53, because this corruptible must put on incorruption. Our body now is not designed for heaven. Doesn't have the right skin, doesn't have the right bones, doesn't have the right texture. God has to change it. And He's going to change it. But we know it's a recognizable body because remember they recognized Jesus, they being the disciples, they knew who He was. When He appeared in the upper room to them, they knew exactly who He was. When He ate fish with them, they knew who He was. But He was different. Different. And this mortal, he says, must put on immortality. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says there, he says, we've got time. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 just a moment. About four verses. I'll read them quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, four verses. For we know that if our earthly house, that's this tent, he says, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the heavenly. For in this, that is in this body, we groan. I'm groaning more and more, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, our heavenly body. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked without a body. For we who are in this tent, that's what Paul calls this body of ours, groan, and we do, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. What he's saying there is the same thing we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 15. We've got to go through this transition. We've got to go through this change. This mortal taking on immorality. This corruptible taking on incorruption. We've got to be transformed. Now back in 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible, verse 54, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, I love this, death is swallowed up in victory. See, we will come back raised to die no more. Just like Jesus Christ. He was raised never to die again. Death no longer has victory over us. I want you to begin to think this way in your mind as a believer in Jesus Christ. You are at this moment immortal. You have eternal life. I have eternal life. We will not die. Death for the believer is graduation day. And those who have stepped through that shadow wouldn't come back for anything on this planet. We're in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. Now think about that. A lot of people think we're in the land of the living on our way to the land of the dying. That's not true. We're longing for that body to be with Jesus Christ. And it's going to be far superior. Listen to this. I used to talk to a bunch of teenagers when I was coming along and working with youth camp, working with a lot of young people. Take that by faith. I did for a lot of years. But they were thinking, you know, I don't find anything motivating, that, you know, anything stimulating about sitting on some cloud out there with a harp. That doesn't motivate me. How boring can you get? And my response to that, you know what? God made this first planet, and God made us, and He knows what gives us joy. He knows what gives us happiness. He knows what really makes us tick. And He's providing a place for us that's going to take us into another realm of joy, of excitement. And 10 seconds there, you wouldn't come back here for anything. It's going to be a fascinating place. We're going to say, wow, one day. You know, that preacher was telling us the truth. This is amazing. This is fascinating. God, what a wonderful God you are. You're such an amazing being. And we're so glad that we trusted Jesus. New body to match. Death is swallowed up in victory. That's the word, victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? And by the way, think about this. The sting of death is still there, isn't it? I mean, it's there. You know why? I know that's true. Because even believers cling with every ounce of their strength to stay here. They fight for their physical life. Even believers do that. They cringe when the thought hits them that they may be taken off of the life support systems and they're about to die. There's a fear that grips their heart, and it's the fear of the unknown. And that's that sting of death. But when Jesus came out of that tomb, He jerked out the stinger. He pulled it out. We don't have to fear death anymore. Where there was fear, there's now victory. And there's no more sting of death. And He says, Oh, Hades, where is your victory? That is, going to Abraham's bosom in Hades, that holding place. No more. Absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. The next face you will see when your eyes close in death will be His face. Think of it. That's why those old saints, those old believers, this was a joyous time for them. They're about to see the Savior. And I've had them say to me, you know, with tears streaming down their eyes, not in grief or sorrow, but in joy, I'm about to be with Jesus. Why would I want to be here in this body, hurting, suffering, when I could be with Him in my new body, in glory? Now, listen, there's grief in leaving their loved ones, but only for a short time. Only for a short time. Oh, Hades, where is your victory? And then He says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. When Adam sinned and died, we sinned and died in him, and that's why we die, because we're sinners. The wages of sin is what? Death. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The law teaches us that we're sinners. It's the spirit of the law that God uses to convict us of our need for a Savior. God uses the spirit of the law to convict an unbeliever that they need Jesus Christ. He uses the spirit of His holy law. He says, you're not good. You're not righteous. Here's my standard of righteousness. You'll have no other gods before you. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image. So on and so forth. Here's my standard. You've messed up. You've missed it. You've broken my law. So the strength of sin is the law. But in verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are singing. Listen, we're talking about victory, not defeat. When Jesus Christ was victorious over the grave, when He came out of that grave, listen, that unleashed for us a new life. No longer are we to fear death. Death lost its sting. Hades lost its victory. I said at the outset, what could motivate us, really motivate us, out of our ho-hum attitude toward winning people to Christ? And when I say winning people, I mean not giving up on anyone. Sharing Christ with them, but not quitting. Even though the gospel that you're giving them falls on deaf ears, you keep on telling them. Because it's your hope to win them to Christ through your words, through your life. You live that life around them you know would bring glory to Christ and would not become a stumbling block to them. But when you have opportunity, you open your mouth and you share your faith with someone that you work around, and you've worked around them for years. They know you claim to be a believer. They know you're a Christian. And you look for opportunities in little ways around the coffee, maybe around the coffee pot, to share Jesus Christ with them. You pop the question. If you were to die, do you know where you would spend eternity? For instance, that question. Do you know you're going to heaven? Would you like to know? Bible says we can. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? I know you know about Him, but do you know Him? Little things like that, little questions. What could motivate us to do that? That's who I am. That's what God designed me to do, is to try to motivate believers to get out of their lethargy, to try to sneak into heaven without ever sharing your faith. What could motivate us? What could really be a motivation that never lets up? Here it is. Here's the motivation. We are you ready? Immortal. We're not gonna die. So no matter what they do to you for sharing Jesus Christ as the gospel with them, what does it matter? That's what the martyrs came to understand. Though you burn me at the stake, what does it matter? Though you run me through with a spear, what does it matter? Though you take my life, what does it matter? I'm immortal. I can't die. And boy, you can't stop a witness who can't die. Right? That's a mighty army of God, isn't it? That's why he said this. That's why he finished this passage. Look, this is what he said. Therefore, you see that verse 58? See that? Therefore, circle that if you have a pencil or a pen or a marker. Mark it. Because here he's summing up everything he said all the way back when he asked, how are the dead raised up and with what kind of body do they come? He's summing it all up right now, one passage. Since this is true, since we're coming out of the grave with this glorified body one day, like Jesus Christ, and we're going to live forever, we're not going to die, we're immortal, Since that's true, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, number one, be steadfast. Don't quit. Be steadfast, immovable. Don't move. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not empty. Knowing that those times that you engage that lost person with the gospel, that's not wasted time. That's precious time. You're talking about things that really matter right now. When you share Jesus Christ with them, really matter. You're kind of like one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is, aren't you? You said, hey, I got something to share with you. It's so fascinating. Listen, you got to hear this. And you share the gospel with him. Let's say it another way. The apostle says it another way in Romans chapter 12. Paul says, I beg of you. I beseech you. That's a big word. I beg of you to present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We can do that because we're not going to die. We're a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Can we do that knowing that we're going to live forever? Shake your head. Yeah, we can do that. We can give Him our body. We can give Him our time. We can give Him our resources. We can give Him our intelligence. We can give Him our talent. We can give Him all of our ability. We can lay all on the line because we know we're not gonna die. We got a glorified body coming one day. Sufficient motivation? Yeah. Real good motivation. You can't defeat an army who cannot die. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul that ring true to us today, centuries after he was here. They're words that are just as relevant today, just as exciting today as they ever were, as they were to the Apostle when he penned them. Father, we can hear in his pen, in his words, his excitement. He's filled with joy in telling us this. And it's his desire to use these words, to allow the Spirit of God to use these words, to motivate us, to drive us, to impel us to ministry, to engage other people with the gospel, to share Jesus Christ with the lost world, to mention his name in public, knowing that we are His ambassadors. We are His representatives on the planet. Help us to understand that we are immortal. And we are eternal, Father, even in this life until God calls us to be with Him. So give us reckless abandon to share the gospel with people. In Jesus' name. Amen.